This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's March 26th, episode 878. Good morning, Horse World.
Morning. Today is Wednesday.
Hey, everyone. Happy hump day.
Happy hump day, baby. Here's to another week. Halfway done. Downhill stretch has finally begun.
Daddy, I want another pony.
What do they call Wednesday hump day anyhow? Innocuous jibber jabber.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this Wednesday morning here at Horses in the Morning. It's been quite a morning already with everything that could possibly go wrong. It's one of those that has already. So we're hoping that everything happens very smoothly on the show today.
Well, Glenn, besides you oversleeping, what else went wrong?
I spilled my protein shake all over my Mac, my expensive MacBook Pro. And right on the keyboard part, and everybody that knows that has a laptop that spilled something on there, that's never good. So
did you
I
buy
managed
insurance?
To get it. This is old. I don't think it even has insurance anymore. So no would be the answer. And I managed to get it turned upside down, and I had a bottle of air handy. So I got it all squirted out and cleaned up, and I think we're okay. All the keys appear to be working. But in the little chat that we do in the background, if you see a lot of misspellings, it means that some of the letters have died. So you'll know that died. But anyway,
gotcha.
So far, so good. I do have good news, though, at least for me. It's good news for me. I'm not sure about the listeners. But for me, it's good news because yesterday I got a call from the federal courthouse and said, please call this number. So I called the number, and they notified me that I was no longer needed for jury service and did not have to show up next
Woo-hoo!
Week. Yay!
Not going to miss Rolex.
I knew you were going to miss me, though. I knew you were going to miss me having to do the show all by yourself all month.
Yeah, that would have been awful. I take
Eventually
over the world. Are you kidding?
Eventually, you would have missed me. About day 12, maybe.
Day one. Well, that's good. I'm glad you don't have to be on the case of the Scranton Strangler and that you get to go to Rolex with us. That's
that was
a great
the
idea.
Important part. That was the important part was not being able to go to Rolex and also trying to figure out how to do 8,500 shows next month all without me. So that was getting difficult to plan, too. So I'm very glad. I don't know why I was taken off the hook. Maybe they actually looked into me. You know, maybe they actually looked at the website and went, we don't want this guy. So that's
don't call him.
Yeah.
Don't call him.
He'll never get picked anyway, so we might as well just let him at home. Or more than likely, there was no cases and they didn't need any jurors. That might be the other thing, too. Who knows?
Yeah, there's nobody in jail waiting for trial, so you should. That should be fine. I'm sure that's what it was.
I'm sure. You know, I don't care what it was. I am off the hook. Jennifer,
Yay!
What's coming up on today's show?
On today's Oh Crap, I Can't Believe I Overslept Wednesday edition, following a coffee-fueled review of a Wednesday crappy list, we head across the pond for a look at the equestrian goings-on with Horse and Country TV's Victoria Spicer, and then sending Hump Day on its way with a kick in the pants, the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. My Daily Whinny goes out to the good folks here in Marion County at the animal shelter. It's not often, actually, that they have horses up for adoption, but right now they have 15 horses that I guess were repossessed at some point or another. So if you're here in Ocala and you have room for an adoptee, they have 15 of them. Now, I went to the website, and I thought it was funny. They use petharbor.com as their website to have all the horses. And they have name, gender, main color, breed, and, you know, how old they are. And, you know, when I'm taking a look at this, the ages of the horses are just precise. 9 years, 6 months, 22 days. 5 years, 6 months, 22 days. 4 years, 6 months, 22 days. 5 years, 6 months, 22 days. Now, everybody is apparently born on the same day of the month.
I was going to say.
But I love this breed. Breed horse. Horse. They have no idea what breed these horses are. So,
but they can tell you what day, by God,
what
they were born.
What day they were born. horse. And then there's one thoroughbred. So apparently they know that the one horse out of these 15 is a thoroughbred. There are some cuties, and they're not all. They don't all look like P.T. Scooter did when I got him. Actually, some of them look like they put on some weight since they got him. But if you're in Ocala and you need to add a horse to the pasture, to the lineup, then head over to the Marion County Animal Shelter. They might have one for you.
Well, continuing my desire to somehow cram my farm full of more horses, I went to look at another mash horse yesterday, Glenn. And I went,
why?
They called me, you know, they're like, we have the one of the deputies called me and said, you got to go see this thoroughbred gelding. And he actually was at the vet clinic, which is near my house. And he said, there's a whole bunch of them too. You may want to just look at and kind of get an idea of what's coming up and what's going to be adoptable. And so I went and looked at this thoroughbred gelding. Sadly, he was there for a lameness exam. He's got just some unreal injuries that were never treated to his back right hock, which is going to keep him from being a performance horse. We're talking bad injury. It's like somebody wrapped a wire around it and the infection went into the bone and they never treated it. So, you know, some of these horses, these are the mash horses that are, you know, the people are in jail now that owned them. So, sadly, that's it. There's a baby underneath my computer. Sorry. So, sadly, he's going to be unable to be a...
It's okay. Bye-bye. Thanks, Daddy.
He's crawling like crazy, and he just crawls wherever he wants. And usually he crawls where he's not supposed to go, obviously. So, under the computer was awesome. So, anyway, so I went and looked at this mash horse. But, Glenn, we've got your future horse coming up, okay? Once you graduate from the pony... Soon to be, he's got a long way to go, but eventually he's going to be healthy enough to be adopted, and he is a Clydesdale. OMG. The cutest, sweetest. There's a Shire and a Clydesdale. The Shire is still a stallion, and he's a little bit pushy, but this Clydesdale came up to the stall, and I was pulling giant chunks of hair off of him. Like, his hair is just falling out, but he also has, like, the foot-long Clydesdale coat. I mean to tell you, the sweetest thing, and he's going to – I told Chad, I'm like, this is your next horse. And he's like, I've already got a horse. I said, this could be your next horse. He's very young. He's probably 4 or 5 years old. Clydesdale starved and coming back and, you know, making a recovery process. But, Glenn, I thought of you after my husband said no. No comment from Glenn. Are you there, Glenn?
Glenn he's is probably, there, but Glenn doesn't know.
I'm here.
There's Glenn.
He probably would be starving here, too, because they eat like a bale of hay a day. And at the price of hay here in Florida, he'd probably be back at the rescue.
You make a good point. Maybe we should lay off. But anyway, really cool. This last group of horses that were confiscated, there was a couple quarter horses. There was a adorable pony, a mini, a Clydesdale, a Shire, a couple thoroughbreds. So there's going to be a lot to choose from. And, you know, it just goes to show you that idiots own any kind of horse. They don't care. And these did not all come from the same place. You know, people starve anything. So, sadly, they're there. But the good news is that they're getting fed and taken care of, and they're going to be available for adoption. So I'll keep you guys posted. We got plenty of horses to give away on the show today, don't we?
Yes, we do. Apparently, it's horse adoption day. Well, we went to the Great American $1 Million Grand Prix the other on Monday night.
No starving horses there.
No, there weren't. There were a lot of good-looking horses there. They had, they had 52 competitors from around the world that were vying for a $350,000 top prize and the $1 Million Grand Prix. Right. And so there were a lot of under prizes, too. I think all the way down to 20 got cash. It was actually kind of fun. We had good seats. Thanks to the Hits people for inviting us over. We got to see our guest that's coming up, our celebrity today for the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge. Emily Thompson was there with her husband, so we got to sit with them. And I know Emily and Jennifer had a great time talking about all the horses and all the different rounds. So they did, like any other jumper show, they did the first round, which was all of them, you know, jumping this course, which was incredibly difficult, actually. There were very few. There were only five clear rounds, which is what the designer, I think, was shooting for. And if you remember, last week we talked about Ashley Bond Clark, who was out of California, who won the first of this triple crown of jumping and won She went almost last in the first round, the qualifying round. She jumped clear, got into the jump off. There were five in the jump off. She was last to go in the jump off. The first three took rails in the jump off. Then this rider from Germany, he actually went clear, Andre. I don't know how you say his last name. Do you remember, Jennifer? Is it Theme or Team? I don't remember how you say his last name.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. But Andre went clear and had no fault, so that was up to Ashley. She could have won her second $350,000 in a week.
No pressure at all.
And she did well in the first couple of jumps. She was making good time to beat Andre, because that, of course, comes down to time if she goes clear at that point. And she pulled a rail, and then she pulled the second rail, and then she wisely just backed out. She wisely retired.
But she retired?
Ashley didn't. Yeah, she retired. You know,
explain, because I thought the same thing. Retire, are you nuts? But it works a little different in show jumping.
Well, explain it. I don't know the difference then.
Well, I thought the same thing you just thought, Jamie. Oh, my gosh, that means she's not eligible for prize at all. But in show jumping, because in the first round it was strictly on score, she ended up coming in fourth place.
Okay, gotcha. So even though she retired from, okay, that makes sense. Because she was probably already in fourth or fifth of whoever was in the jump-off, so she just goes to the bottom of the jump-off round, not just retiring and eventing.
Yeah.
Right.
I had the exact same reaction.
Like, why would you retire if you said prize money is to 20?
So she didn't win her second $350,000. However, this was the second time that Andre from Germany won, and he was very funny in the press conference after he won last year. He said he was going to build a house, and they asked him if he was going to build a house this year, if he had built his house and what he was going to use the money for this year, $350,000. And he said, well, that we never finished the house. It got a lot more expensive than we thought, so I guess this money is going to finish the house this year. So he's going to be finishing his house. He was a very humble guy, very nice guy, and was very appreciative that he could come over here and take the American money home with
him.
It was packed. Tell it turned out. Yeah, the place must – there was no more room to sit. The sponsor tents were full, and it was packed. There were a lot of people there. We got to sit around we were in the rider's tent. So when they weren't riding, they would come up and watch. And it was very interesting hearing all of them talk. And these riders do spend a lot of time talking about strides. That's all. Their life is strides, isn't it? It's how many strides between this jump and this jump. And there was one that was on a half stride, about 4.5. So that was the top of conversation all night, is, oh, that she should have done 4. She should have done 5. So it's their life is strides.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. I was thinking of Hunter Riders, man. You talk about strides, like outside 6, inside 5, outside 7, inside 4. Like, that's how they talk.
It was interesting. There was a fight in our right. There were two tents, a sponsor tent and then the rider tent. And in between those two, there was a barrier, and the bar was right there. And there, a fight broke out right there and caused a lot of yelling and screaming and commotion. Apparently, from what I can gather, some drunk guy came up and just started peeing behind the bar, right in the tent. And these other guys were yelling at him to go, you know, to go out to the port-a-john, and it ended up with a pushing and shoving. And I was like, oh, only in a Cal at a jumper show can you see that.
No, that's definitely not true. It's shocking that you would see that at a jumper show, but what's not shocking is alcohol is involved.
Yes, exactly. Like, I don't know how it ended up, but it went on for like 5-10 minutes, and it caused quite a commotion with the riders were all interested in that. I think it was the most exciting thing that's happened to them all week. So
probably.
That was interesting.
Hey, I learned something pretty interesting also yesterday when I met a – you're going to love this, Glenn, and I know exactly what you're going to think. You remember that TV show Luck that was on HBO for a while?
Oh,
and
yeah.
And Dustin Hoffman, and they had three horses. They filmed three episodes, and I think three horses died in the filming. And so they had to quit filming. Now, I thought, you know, you're running horses at a track. It was at Santa Anita. It was on the turf, not on the turf, but on the, you know, not the dirt, whatever the other one is. And then so horses were dying, and you know, accidents happen. And I always thought maybe it was just kind of freak stuff. Well, the girl I met yesterday, Glenn, you're going to love this. She was Chantel Sutherland's stunt double.
Really?
That's right. I said,
wait a
Chantel
minute.
Sutherland's
hold on,
stunt
hold
double.
Hold on, hold on. Chantel Sutherland needed a stunt double? She's a jockey.
I know. But I guess they use them a lot, too, for stand-in and stuff. Like, okay, stand here. You're going to pretend to be Chantel Sutherland. Or so she did stunts and she did stand-in for her, I guess. And what was interesting, and yes, she was hot, Glenn. She was good. She was also
now, you're not going to ruin my fantasy about Chantel Sutherland and tell me she was a total jerk and a diva.
Oh, no. We didn't even talk about that because really care, so I didn't ask. But she was telling me, she said, you know, she goes, I was a nobody. I was just standing there. I was, you know, kind of standing around, and she's also a vet tech. That's how I met her. She got a vet tech job at the clinic I was at yesterday. And she was saying that they would film a take. And one of the takes was these three horses that were working 3/4 of a mile. And so it was like, and go. And the horses came around working, doing the dead gallop, you know, full out for 3/4 of a mile behind the people talking, like Dustin Hoffman talking to somebody else. And they're like, okay, cut. Let's do it again. And they took the same horses to the same spot, and they were like, and action. And they made these horses gallop again. 3/4 of a mile at a breeze, like full out. Come around and cut. And she said that at some point she turned to one of the jockeys and was like, you have to say something. These were off-the-track thoroughbreds that weren't even fit. She's like, they weren't even racehorse fit. They were just brought in to be in the background for these shots. And they're like, cut. Okay, do it again. Take the horses back to the other side. Action. And she said the third time, she said day one, this is the first day of filming that she was on the set, I guess. She said the horses came the third time, the horse dropped dead. And she's like, I quit. She said that nobody on that set had any business being involved with horses whatsoever. She goes, no, there was no horse advocate on set that said, you can't do this to these horses. Like, this is one work that they should be doing every 2 weeks, not one work three times in the past hour, you know, in the past hour to do the whole thing. So she said that it was just a complete disaster on set, and it's really good that they ended up shutting it down because that was what was killing horses, because we didn't know. you know, when we were doing these stories, we're like, why are these horses dying on set? And it turns out they were just idiots, horrible people. And I'm glad that she quit. But, you know, the horse advocate in me, it doesn't matter if I have a job, if I'm hired, I would have had to say something. And I think she regretted it now after all those horses died. But you guys, you're going to be at some point faced in your life with a moment. And this moment happened to me when I was like 21 and I saw a guy hitting a horse in the head. He was drunk and he repeatedly hitting him in the head. And I should have said something and I didn't. And it haunts me to this day. If you see something, say something, because the horses can't say it themselves. And I think that this falls in that category where she was so regretting that she didn't say something. But she said,
you
know,
I
couldn't.
I thought that they claimed they had, there is animal act, animal groups that go on set and make sure the animals are all being taken care of. And they claimed, the production company claimed, that they were there the whole time. So
yes,
apparently,
but
they
I
weren't.
Guess she said that they just weren't horse people. Like, nobody understood you can't take a horse out of a pasture and breathe it 3/4 of a mile 3 times in an hour. Like, you just.
That's a very
specific knowledge base.
Yeah, very specific.
Yeah.
Your average Joe who doesn't know anything about a horse would just go, oh, well, look, he's running. Well, of course he's running. He's a thoroughbred. He's going to run until he literally dies, and that's what they do. So they just didn't have a qualified person there, did they?
Yeah, they didn't. And this isn't even, I don't even think public knowledge. I just started asking questions. She was like, oh, I was on the show, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, my God, tell me everything. Why? And she was very chatty with me because I think I actually knew a lot about it, you know, as opposed to like, oh, that's cool, you're in a movie, you know. But I was like, oh, my God, tell me why the horses died. And she gave me all that information. And I don't even think that's public information, obviously. Very interesting and to learn that it wasn't just freak things and horses don't just die because they're on a track. They died because they were worked to death. And you're right, Jennifer, that's what a thoroughbred will do. They'll just run until they die. So interesting situation. And Glenn, when she said she was Chantel Sutherland stand-in stunt double, all I thought was Glenn would be imagining her in the tack naked right now. Because remember that photo shoot she did?
Yeah, that's right. She did a photo shoot.
She did a photo shoot in the tack naked, and it was really amazing. And she's very muscular. So I was like, good for you.
That's funny. Well, let's go to something a little lighter right now. I promised this in our promo for the show today. We haven't done a crappy list in a while on a Wednesday, and I have a crappy list for you. And this is involving smells. It's something that we all deal with as horse people, and that's various smells in the barn, some good, some not so good. But they did a study of the top they did a survey of the top smells that people have outside the barn, just regular stuff. I'll go over through those, and then we've kind of made up our own list of good and bad horse barn smells. So
yeah,
let's
start.
Who
made this smell? This
What's
list.
That?
Sorry.
Jennifer made up this list. Jennifer and I made this list.
Okay.
Actually, the list that I'm going to read was done on a survey by Yahoo. Yahoo did this list. So starting at number 10, new car smell. That is a good smell, I got to admit. Plus, you're driving a new car. So it's like it has a double, you know, meaning. That smell just means so much. Like, I'm driving a new car and it smells like a new car. That is a good smell.
Yeah.
And that's one of those smells you only get to do like every once in a while in your life. It's not something you do every day, right? So
I do it when I test drive.
Exactly.
That's about it.
You'll agree with the next one, freshly baked brownies. Oh, they smell so good. Chocolate brownies. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Can't argue with that. The next one I kind of have a problem with, and maybe it's because, I don't know, it doesn't make any sense. Rubbing alcohol. Who thinks rubbing alcohol? It always smells like the doctor's office, and that's not a good thing.
Yeah, but it smells clean.
I guess. I don't know. I'm not. Do you think that should be on number 8 on the list of best smells?
I don't think it should be over brownies, but I do like the smell of rubbing alcohol. Makes you think of,
should
you
anything
know.
Be over brownies when you really think about it?
Yeah, I know. Maybe
the
order
should be over brownies. Ice cream.
Yeah.
Amen, sister.
Number 7, and I agree with this one, whiteboard eraser markers. Those markers you use for the whiteboards, oh, smell so good. I agree with that one. I think people get high smelling those. The number six was a strange one, and I never associated this as having much smell. Ivory soap.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gross. You know why? Because when I worked at the vet clinic, that's what we cleaned sheets with. Ugh. I smell ivory soap, and I think it's smegma. Gross.
Grade school libraries. There's an odd one to have on the list. I can't say I even remember what the grade school library smelled like.
Old books.
No, it's old books, yeah. Ugh.
Yeah. I don't know how that one got on the list. And then I totally agree. Jennifer, or Jamie won't agree with this. Jennifer and I agree with this. Number four on the list is cooking bacon. Oh, there's nothing smells better than cooking bacon.
My vegan bacon smells really good when it's cooking.
Does it smell like regular bacon?
It's called bacon. Well, I call it bacon. And it's bacon? Delicious. And it is all my husband eats anymore.
So you didn't answer my question. Does it smell like regular bacon cooking?
I don't know. Probably not. But it smells good to me.
You know where I got that bacon smell? When I was growing up, we camped a lot. We belonged to a camping club. And at campgrounds, you'll smell people start to cook the bacon in the morning.
Oh,
and there's
yeah,
nothing
that
like
is good.
Smelling the bacon at a campground. There's nothing like that. Number three, popcorn, which can go bad very quickly to burnt popcorn, which is one of the worst smells out there.
That's true.
Yeah, but cooking popcorn, yeah, I kind of agree with that. Again, I don't think it should be above brownies. I think they got the order wrong there. Number two, freshly cut grass. So there's a lot of people who just got another snowstorm yesterday who would really like to smell freshly cut grass, and it will be the most wonderful smell in the world when you finally get to do it in about July.
Chad just mowed the grass this weekend, like for the third time.
I know. These poor people who had this storm again yesterday. Ugh. And then number one, and you could probably guess. Do you have any guess at what the number one was on the survey?
Well, you know, what they didn't say was freshly baked cookies, but maybe that falls in the same category as brownies.
Yeah, kind of, probably. Yeah, I would think. It's something that people spend a lot of money on every year, and there is a company devoted exclusively to this smell.
What? Coffee.
Yep, coffee.
Oh,
number
one.
Yeah, and you know, I don't like coffee, but I like the smell of coffee. I do like the smell. I wish I liked coffee, but I don't still like coffee. But I like the smell of coffee. So, yeah, coffee's on the list.
Yeah,
now
good.
We kind
that's
of made
good.
Up our own barn list of good smells, and this is what we came up with. Maybe
hold
maybe
on.
The listeners
can, the,
yeah,
the non-horsey list, I just want to say this because I did it last night, and I can't stand the smell of cooking fish in your house.
Oh,
the smell of
I
fish
agree.
Cooking.
We don't like fish at all,
bake,
so.
Yeah, I baked cats and salmon, and it's disgusting, disgusting smell.
I agree. Totally agree.
Okay, move on.
Good smells in the barn. This is our version of what we came up with, a mouthful of newly harvested hay. And that's partly because the only time you really sit down to smell it is when you're done and you've just loaded about 200 bales in, you're hot and you're sweaty, and you sit there and go, you have that satisfaction that it's done and it smells so good. And then when you walk in the next morning, it's like, I agree. I think that's a good one.
Gotcha.
Sweet feed made fresh at your local mill. Oh, when sweet feed does smell good, that just you just want to eat it when you smell it. I agree.
I don't know
one.
If I've ever gotten it at my local mill, nor do I feed sweet feed, but I have smelled it before, and it is amazing. You know what else smells really good as far as feed? Because now this is one of the ingredients in my horse's, you know, 57 ingredient meals that are custom made for each horse, is beet pulp. Oh, the shreds with the water soaking in it just makes me happy.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah, we've been feeding beet pulp for a while now. The beet pulp we got didn't smell very much. And even the one they said had molasses, I couldn't tell the difference. But some beet pulp,
these
I think
don't
is,
have molasses. Yeah, just
yeah,
regular old
some is
pulp.
A little, some is a little smellier than other. I guess it depends on the beets.
I think it reminds me of summer camp from when I was a kid, because that's what we fed. And we said people bite at summer camp. So that's like, it reminds me, it takes me back to being nine.
Belvoir saddle soap. And anybody that's used that brand knows what they're talking, what Jennifer's talking about there, and I agree with that.
Yeah, I use the conditioner, the leather conditioner, Belvoir. It's like the orange little silver, orange and silver container. Yeah, that their what is it called? The leather balsam stuff is really good.
How about Beagle oil?
Yummy. Any liniment's good.
Yeah, any liniment's going to be good, because they always put, like, lavender in it, and it just makes it smell wonderful. I agree partly with this. Freshly bedded stall. Now, she put in straw. I have an aversion to straw because I hated cleaning straw stalls. I just despised it. I finally said, if you're going to continue to use straw, I'm not cleaning the stalls, and I wouldn't help anymore because I just couldn't sift. My ADD kicked in after about the second time I dug into the straw and had to move it all out of the...
I'm sorry. Cleaning straw stalls, if you don't have 400 of them like I did when I worked at Three Chimneys when I was a teenager, if you only have a couple, they're really fun to clean because it's all like a little treasure hunt. And I love the smell of... Am I wrong? You have to lift it up, throw it in the corner, and you're like, there's the rest. I found the needle in the straw stack. And so I loved cleaning straw stalls, and I love the smell of straw, and I love the fact that when you bed a straw stall, you can just flop down on it and lay in it because it's so comfortable. And it, like, when you put your horse in there and you put him in there for the night, I lived in Kentucky for a long time, and that's all you use in Kentucky. You put them in there, and you just sleep better because you know they're laying down comfortable in the straw stall. And it reminds me of mares and foals.
Okay, I'll let you have that one, and you can clean all of my straw stalls because as a horse husband with ADD, straw stalls were a nightmare, just a nightmare. Pine shavings.
When you smell something, how it takes you back to another place in your life.
Good or bad.
Yeah.
Good or bad. Exactly. Pine shavings. We use shavings now, and I love putting the pine shavings in the stall. That for me smells wonderful. But you're right, because that takes my dad and my brother both had a wood shop, and they spent a lot of time in the wood shop. And when it goes down to the wood shop, it smelled like pine shavings. So when I put that in the stalls now, that takes me back to remembering my dad and brother in the wood shop. So
isn't that cool?
Yeah, you are right about that. Dairy cows. I don't know how you got dairy cows smelling good there, Jennifer.
Ew. They do. Dairy cows smell different than beef cows, and they smell sweet from all the silage that they eat. It smells sweet. It's good.
You know, I don't know if I've ever smelled the udder of a milk cow, but I got to tell you that there's a big dairy kind of near where we live, and if you drive by a day after it rains, you want to kill yourself.
Good.
Oh, God, it's the worst.
You know what's worse than dairy cows like that is a chicken farm. Oh, with a chicken coop. After they said that, we had one that was right beside our big farm, and they used to spread the chicken manure like once every 6 weeks or something. Oh, my God, that was awful. Chickens, newly plowed field. That sort of goes along with hay or with the grass cutting.
Now, can I tell you the difference between a mother and a father is I just saw my son crawling down the hallway on the hardwood naked. Okay, you got him, baby?
Did he escape or what?
I don't know the story. I'll find out after the show. But, that's interesting. Carry on with the smells.
And do you have any other good ones? That was Jennifer's list of good smells in the barn.
You know, I'm sorry. I love the smell of horse breath. Just when you blow in their nostril and they blow in yours and you sniff in. Glenn, you've probably never done that, but the smell of horse breath is, it goes right to my tingly parts and just makes me feel good.
You know what I like is this, it's along that line, is the smell of my pony. Just his, every horse seems to have a different odor, body odor, if you will. And especially in the wintertime when their coats are real long. But I just love the smell of my pony. I don't know why. And I don't, you know, Beaker's is a little different. I don't necessarily hate it, but I don't love it. But the smell of my pony, I don't know. Maybe that's because he's my pony. You know, I can have
maybe that's pony. How we, like, choose horses. When we go see them and we're, like, going to buy a new horse, like, maybe it's, like, a human where their smell is attractive to us individually. And I know that, you know, like, you smell some guys, like, I've dated, and like, oh, and then you smell like my husband, and he just smells good to me. It's like pheromones, maybe. I'm not communicating this very well, but something about the smell of them makes you love them. I wonder.
Yeah, I think, I agree. Now,
Jennifer just texted me and said I'm creeping her out. Okay, thanks. Sorry, Jen. I'm not communicating very well. I'll quit.
And here is our list of not-so-good smells. One of them, the first one on the list, oh, this is one of the worst smells. It's hoof trimming or burning hoof when hot shoeing. And a lot of you have never had experienced hot shoeing, but, oh, there's nothing worse than that.
See,
it's awful.
I love the smell of hot shoeing. I don't like the smell of thrush trimmed hooves, no. But, yeah, hot shoeing, I think it reminds me of, you know, just smelling in the barn when I was younger, you'd walk in and the waft of the hot shoeing smell would still kind of be lingering in there. I'd love it.
You remember a while back, what was it, a year, 2 years ago, I covered the National Horse Shoeing Championships in Kentucky, and we did a show from there. That whole place smelled. It's like, oh, my God. That's all you smelled. It stuck with you. It was on my clothes when I went home. It's like cigarette smoke. It was on my clothes.
Yeah.
When I had to wash my clothes. I was like, oh. The next one you mentioned earlier, and that is a smegma. You mentioned that one earlier.
Then mix some ivory soap in there. You'll never think it's a good smell ever again.
Vetrolin. Vetrolin doesn't smell good. Yeah, sorry, foreigners.
Oh. Yeah, I love that one.
Yeah? You like the smell of Vetrolin?
I do.
Oh. Neat's foot oil? Neat's foot oil doesn't smell very good. And, you know, most hoof oils don't smell great because they're just basically
oil. Well, Neat's foot oil is its own special nastiness because it's actually you're supposed to put it on tack, and it is the culmination of a lot of dead animals in Neat's foot oil. And so don't buy that, you guys. It's really horrible stuff. Like, it is horrible.
To be exceeded by creosote, which is also horrible. And then the ultimate one, I think, and a very good choice here, Jennifer, was dirty turnout blankets. You know, for some reason, your horse smells good. Their turnout blanket, after you take it off of that same horse, not so good.
Gross. Pretty gross.
And
I can add one or two, but go ahead.
I was just going to say, and when you throw them in the washing machine and they just start to wash, the smell really comes out. If you have to open the door again, it's like you want to pass out.
Yeah, that's really bad. That is really bad. You're right. The once that nasty blanket smell gets hot, yeah, it's bad. The other thing is, I really don't like the smell of first of all, Ixamol. I don't really like the smell of Ixamol at all. Do you?
No, not my favorite.
And then the worst smell to me is the smell of copper tox.
Oh, yeah. There's
so
nothing to love
gross
about copper tox.
No, nothing. And you know what's interesting is my friend Nancy, you guys know, she was my maid of honor, and this is when I knew we were going to be friends, was she was we boarded at the same barn. I taught lessons, and she was a boarder. And I walked in to the tack room, and she had the hot water going and was washing bell boots. And I guess she had spilled copper tox all over the bell boots, and she was washing it off. And I was like, and I walked in, I'm like, oh, my what are you doing? Why? I'm like, how can you stand there? And she's like, what are you talking about? I don't smell anything. And I said, how do you not smell the smell of hot water and copper tox and hoof nastiness?
Her sinuses
she
were completely burned away.
No, it turned out she was like, she didn't even realize that she had lost her sense of smell. She had a head injury a year before that, falling off of a horse, and did not realize that for 6 months she had no sense of smell. Until it took me going in going, oh, my God, copper talks. Oh, and she's like, well, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, how does food taste to you? She's like, I didn't really notice. Disgusting. So there you go. That's why she's one of my best friends.
Well, and that's another one. Now that you mentioned bell boots on the top of my list, the smell of rubber bell boots when they come out of the package. And, yeah, and unless you work in a tack shop where you have several dozen sets sitting in front of you, you probably don't notice this, but they smell nasty. Oh, yuck.
Really?
Yes, when they're packaged up and they're shipped in by the crateful, oh, man. Yeah.
You know, that's, I think, how you know you get good tack or bad tack, when you open a package and a bridle's in it, and it either smells really good or really bad. Like, the really bad stuff, it kind of smells like needs foot oil, and it's all, like, really cheap leather. And then you open something, smells so good when you get good tack. Am I right?
You're absolutely right. When we owned a tack shop, we used to get shipments of tack in, you know, big boxes full of tack. If it was one of those, you know, lesser name brands, it would come in and you'd open it up, and we always said it smelled like camel pee. Oh, it was awful. It was awful. We always said it smelled like camel pee. Now, I'll add to this list dog pee. We had to deal with that yesterday because the dog kind of had an accident in their crates or bedding. There's nothing worse than dog pee. Oh.
Cat pee's worse. Cat pee, my friend.
I agree.
I always said that if horse urine smelled like cat urine, nobody would ride. Nobody would own horses. Nobody would have horses in a barn.
And if the stall smelled like a kitty litter box, nobody would clean the stall.
No.
Nobody would want that job.
Nobody would have horses. We would all quit. If that was that much volume of cat urine in a tiny little box that we had to, like, go through and sift through, no. Nobody would ride.
Why do we have cats, by the way? I'm just wondering.
Yeah, don't ask my husband that. He'll be like, I don't know, I want to shoot it. Although our cat is really good with the baby and rubs on him and loves him and everything like that, I think that's been the only redeeming quality of our cat in my husband's eyes, because he thinks that having a cat is so stupid. And, you know, pregnant women are not allowed to clean kitty litter boxes because, like, there could be the potential of some sort of diseased thing that could hurt the face. I still had to clean the kitty litter box. He still wouldn't do it. I'm like, I'm pregnant. It says here I'm not supposed to. You have to. And he's like, yeah, I'm not doing it. Like, get rid of the cat.
You don't have to plan.
Get rid of the cat.
When you're married to a animal woman, you do have to draw a line somewhere. Somewhere there has to be a line.
Yeah. Yeah, I would imagine. And, like, when you were talking about the smell of pine shavings, all I could think about was he never would clean out the guinea pig thing. No.
You know, rabbits have a certain smell, too, but it's not necessarily offensive. It's just kind of rabbit. You know, rabbits have their own kind of odor, too. And I remember, you know, how I remember that is we used to go to the Pennsylvania Farm Show. By the way, we're killing time here till Victoria calls in. She's having trouble getting through from England. But we used to go to Pennsylvania Farm Show, and they used to show rabbits. By the way, I still haven't figured out how they showed rabbits or cats or any of those animals. But anyway, they would have hundreds of rabbits in crates, and you'd walk in there, and you'd have this overwhelming smell of rabbits. Ugh.
Like dander and
little rabbit pellets have a smell.
You think we
grossed everybody out enough this morning?
Well, I was going to say, a listener, Lainey Mars, just said on our Facebook page that a hot piece of toast in the toaster is the best smell. She loves smell of toast.
That's pretty good.
And Dawn Deans says that we're just insane this morning. We're making her laugh. She said that we said the S word. So she thinks we're funny. Smegma.
Oh! I didn't know that. That should probably be on the list of seven dirty words, shouldn't it? Nothing dirtier than that.
You know, I'm sorry. I have a friend who thinks that she cannot clean a sheath properly with a glove on. She's like, I just can't get it all. I can't.
Ew.
So don't, like, I won't use a glove.
Oh, who does that? Jennifer said the other day that my pony sheath needs cleaned, and I said, call the vet. I'll pay the fee. Whatever. Call the vet. I'm not doing it. I'm sorry. I'm just not doing it. That's where I draw the line. He won't clean the litter box. I'm not cleaning this sheath. That's what vets are for. Why we have
them. Yeah, and the vets are like, you mean I pay $100,000 a year in some sort of, like, you know, educational fund that, you know, I had to pay to learn to clean horse penises. So they hate doing it, too.
Yeah, I imagine when you're called out for that,
years
you get put low on
loans.
The list.
Yeah, years of student loans for cleaning a horse wiener.
Well, let's take a break for our song, and maybe we can get Victoria on the line here. I noticed she was still trying to call and getting cut off for some reason. So we'll hope that we get Victoria from Horse and Country TV after our song today. First, we're going to hear from Equestrian Collections with the product of the week, and then I have a song for you that is a new song by Tiffany DeRose. By the way, she's a lovely girl who helps out the horse industry. She doesn't even have horses, but she donates her time for a horse rescue. And we interviewed her back on November 24th of 2011. That's 3 years ago already, Jamie. She's absolutely a wonderful singer. She's more of a classical singer, which was why I was surprised when she released this new CD. It's called the Fearless Trilogy, and one of the title song on there is called Fearless, and it's very popish and very good. So I'm going to play that for you right after this word from Equestrian Collections. Hi, Glenn here, and I am with Debbie from Equestrian Collections with Equestrian Collections Product of the Week, and it's getting to be showtime.
Took the words right out of my mouth, Glenn, yes. It is getting to be time to be looking for some new boots for the season, and I wanted to feature one of our top-selling tall boots that we have on our site. That's the Mountain Horse Ladies for Wren's Dress Boot. These boots are, they come in a huge range of sizes, and that is one of their biggest selling points. You know, Mountain Horse has always been one that looks at all across-the-board customers. They have a lot of different sizes, a lot of different calf widths. They're very generous with their extra wide, and they are in stock. There's lots of them in stock right now, time for show season. These are very nice looking boots. They've got the Spanish top. They're made, they have a pigskin lining. They've got a really good zipper. They're just a nice, nice boot. They're less than $250, which is a good price point for a boot that looks this nice and is just, it's just a good boot to have, and it's a really good dressage boot. It's a dress boot, so it's a really good dressage boot, or if you're doing jumpers, you want to get a new pair of boots. These are excellent boots, a top seller. We don't get them back. They're just really, really nice. So I wanted to remind everybody of the Mountain Horse Ladies for Wren's Dress Boots.
I really like the zipper pull-through slot that these have, because a lot of times the zippers will come down on you after they start to wear out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And this actually has a zipper keeper, so it prevents that from happening at the top. And I really like that on these.
Yeah, it's very unique. It's a unique little thing that they put in. You know, boot manufacturers are always looking to do something a little bit different. And these are just really nice boots with lots of unique and new features.
And there's a size chart right on equestriancollections.com. Just search for Mountain Horse Ladies Firenze, that's Firenze, dress boot, and you'll find them on there. Take a look at the size chart and get your order in today for a terrific price.
Great, and you're always welcome to call customer service. We're always happy to help.
I've drifted to your dream.
That is Tiffany DeRosier off her new trilogy album. Man, I feel like I was in the club listening to that song. It's called Fearless. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. And it is sponsored today by, hold on, I'm getting there, by you guys. So thanks for sponsoring today's show. And also, just wanted to let you guys know, Glenn, did you want to talk about Easy Signs Online?
Nope. We can just bring in Victoria.
Sorry, if you need a sign.
Online, no love for you today.
No, actually, that was from, I was just letting everybody, that was just which episode she was on. That was the title of the episode she was on.
You can't just type stuff in there and not expect me to talk about it. Sorry, we have, for those of you guys who don't know, we have an outline of the show, and that's kind of where that was. So anyway, let's talk to Victoria Spicer from Horse and Country TV. Good morning, Victoria.
Good morning. Better late than never, I hope.
Oh, well, we appreciate you being here. We're disorganized anyway, so no big deal. So what's going on?
Well, it's been quite a big news week over here in Horse and Country, and it's been a huge big story. It's not very cheerful, but about two horses that were found roaming loose in a country park. And the council, instead of arranging for experts to come or a riding school to send a member of staff or a charity to send people in to catch these horses, they chased them around for a while and then shot them. So it's caused outrage, and it's I know, it's terrible. It's a big story in the UK at the moment. And apparently they were endangering children and dog walkers by cantering around, but I can't see how any situation needed to end in them being shot. I'm sure they could have been tranquilized in the first instance.
That is, I'm glad that there's a huge outcry, because that's ridiculous. They can't endanger people when they're probably running away from them. So they are flight. So, well, that's really horrible. Well, I'm sad to hear that story. Move on to something better.
Yes, that's not a very cheerful story to start off with. In other news, in the dressage world, there's been a bit of an indecision going on, because Charlotte Dujardin, who is European and Olympic champion, had aimed to compete at the World Cup final, which is where all the top dressage riders from around the world qualify, and the final's being held in France next month. And Charlotte had been to a couple of qualifiers. She'd won them both, of course. And so she thought she might head to the final and add that to her ever-growing collection of prizes. But unfortunately, there's been another rider that sneaked up the rankings ahead of her, and now it looks like she has to have a wild card if she's going to get to compete at the final. Otherwise, she hasn't done enough to qualify.
Wow. Well, you know what? She's an amazing person. She's going to win the whole thing no matter what.
She can, as long as she gets to go to the final. But it's a real shame, because it's a bit like when Totilis didn't come to the London Olympics. It's always good to have every superstar there, so you can have a real sense of who is the best and how do they compare to each other.
Yeah, I can't even imagine her not being there. So I'm sure she'll find a way in, I'm sure.
I hope so.
She'll figure it out. Well, now I was looking at another story that you guys have on Horse and Country TV, and it is about horses swimming in Jamaica. Now, I have been to Jamaica, and I took, I thought, okay, I'm going to go for a ride, because it's the first time I think I'd ever been out of the country, and I was like, I'm going to go horseback riding in every country I go to. And I went to Jamaica, and I decided that I would never go to another barn in another country ever again, because the poor care and the poor situation that these horses were in, it just broke my heart. And you can't take them home with you, because you're, in Jamaica. So I swore that I would never, ever do that again. Now, you guys have a happy Jamaica horse story?
Well, we were sent a video. It's very kind of artistically shot, and it does look somewhat better. But I do agree, because I went to the Dominican Republic probably about 8 years ago now, and again I went to visit stables and went for a ride, and I found the horses were thin and fairly miserable, and I was pretty much the same. But I think this yard is known for taking on rescue horses and retired race horses, and I have to say all the ones that I saw in the video looked look in good condition. And I think it must just be like any country. You've got some yards that are pride themselves in looking after the horses and they spend a lot of money, and other ones just do it as cheaply as possible and the horses don't look great as a consequence. So but this one does look good, and basically they allow people to ride out into the sea, and the waters are so calm and warm that I think it must be pretty blissful to get to do it.
Oh, I'm looking at the video, and they have, like, underwater cameras that are filming this, and it's interesting to see how, just how horses swim, it's really beautiful. Yeah, when I was at this place in Jamaica, I actually would canter the horse up and then stop and let it graze while everybody caught up. Because I was like, at least you're going to get some food while I'm riding, you poor little thing.
it was kind.
Bad. So, yeah, these horses are at least very well taken care of. They're beautiful, well-muscled. They're enjoying their job, so pretty cool. If you want to see the video of underwater cameras of horses swimming, go to horseandcountry.tv. And let's see, anything else going on? I know we're running a little behind, so that's why I'm kind of rushing you through this.
No worries. Well, we have a blog of the week at the moment, which is about a real-life golden horse who has got this unusual pearl sheen to his coat and hazel eyes. Apparently, he's the only one of his kind in Britain, but somebody did comment on the blog that they've seen plenty of horses this color. So you guys go and check it out and tell me whether it's rare over there or if it's just Britain that's getting excited about this.
I'm sure it's probably rare over here too, but no, you can't skip over this because this will be really interesting to Glenn. And you guys did a documentary on, or you have a documentary of the horses of Gettysburg.
Yes, indeed. So that's coming soon to Horse and Country later this week. And you know, we've done a lot about the world wars over here and the role horses played. But I have to say, I know very little about their role in the Civil War. And so I'm going to be watching, and I'm looking forward to finding out more about Gettysburg and what horses went through during the battles.
Hey, Victoria, I got a question. When are we going to get you guys on our TV over here?
I don't know. I think it's always being talked about, and obviously we've launched online, but every program has different broadcast restrictions, so we might have permission to show it in Britain, but we don't overseas. So until that's fixed, we can't show you our online version. And, you know, we're spreading. We've gone to Sweden, and we're already in Holland, and we're talking to other countries, and I know America is on the list. So hopefully in the future you'll be able to watch us on your...
I kind of know why you're not coming over here right now, because the cable companies are notoriously hard to work with here in the United States. So, I, you know, kind of don't blame you, but we would still love to have it at some point.
Well, I will mention to the chief exec of the channel, so I think she spends a lot of time in America, so I think she's working on it. She's doing her best.
All right, very good. And I am really into history and the horses in the wars especially, and the fact that you guys did one on Gettysburg and on the Civil War, and all parts of the Civil War is going to be fascinating. I'm going to definitely try and catch it on the website if it's
up there. Definitely.
Cool. Well, Victoria, sorry to let you go so quick. I know we had some trouble getting you connected, but we will hopefully talk to you again next week.
Perfect. Have a great week.
Thank you, Victoria.
All right, you too. Best of luck to Charlotte getting in the World Cup.
Yes, indeed. I'll let you know if she gets some.
Tell her I said good luck and hi.
I will see.
All right, bye-bye.
All right,
maybe while she's at it, she could tell Luke's future wife that he said hi to. Baby Luke, you know. Zara Phillips' new daughter.
I want to, before we get to our celebrity trivia brought to you by EquityMFG.com, I wanted to give a thank you out to our new auditors, our new HRN auditors over the last couple of days, Margaret, Jerry, Amanda, Alexis, and Doreen. Thank you so much for your support of the Horse Radio Network and for being such generous supporters, actually. We appreciate you being here, and if you would like to help support, just hop on over to Horses in the Morning, click on the big link in the middle of the page, and for as little as a dollar a month, you too can become an official HRN auditor. It is that time of the week.
It's time for the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge, where each week a different unsuspecting world-renowned celebrity equestrian is pitted against a humble Horses in the Morning listener willing to risk it all for a prize package or a nod of approval from one of the greats from the equestrian universe. Now, let the battle of equestrian acuity begin.
And we are very pleased to have as our celebrity this week, Grand Prix show jumper Emily Thompson. Good morning, Emily.
Hey, good morning, Glenn. How are you?
Terrific. Thank you for joining us this morning. We really appreciate you laying it all on the line today and putting your ego aside to answer Jennifer's very difficult questions.
Yes, well, I'm excited to participate. However, we're not so sure I'm good at trivia. We're about to find out, I guess.
Emily, it was fun seeing you the other night. I met Emily over at the Million Dollar Class at HITS, and it was fun actually getting your perspective as we watched, because I'm not a show jumping expert and you are, so that was fun.
That was great. That was really cool how that all worked out. Well, I was so glad we made the trip. I have to admit, I'm definitely getting older. I paid for it a little bit the next day. Eric and I were lagging around the barn after kind of almost pulling an all-nighter, I guess, driving back. But it was worth it. It was awesome. I'm so glad we did it.
Well, it was good to see you for sure. Emily, tell us about the charity that you're going to be playing for.
Okay, so this charity is, I think it's just so cool. It's called United States Equine Rescue League. They're online. They're on Facebook. They have a YouTube channel. They're based out of North Carolina and Virginia, which is real horse country. And they do adoptions, rehabilitations, and then placements. So sort of, you know, it's the whole enchilada when you adopt one. Unfortunately, they do come with a little baggage. So I love that this program then works with the horses, gets them going, evaluates them. They actually give you sort of a rundown physically, mentally, what the horse is going to do with his life, what they project for him. And there's a modest adoption fee, which goes back to support other adoptions. It's a non-for-profit. And they do all breeds and all disciplines, which I think is so cool. I mean, young horses, old horses, paint horses, quarter horses, spotted horses, all of it. And they've got, like, update their website pretty continuously. They've got about 36 horses on there right now for adoption. So that's who I'm psyched about.
Very good. Well, we appreciate you offering that up as well. And then also, we're going to hear about the prizes here in just a minute that we're playing for and introduce our listener. But I wanted to make an announcement, and we're very happy that Emily Thompson, who has, if you recognize her voice, she has been doing the very interesting Wellington reports for us every couple of weeks and giving us the update on how many people may have not made it home from the bar the night before. And we have been enjoying those, also more serious stuff too, but we've been enjoying that part especially. And Emily, you are now going to become a co-host here once a month on Horses in the Morning, doing a special jumper episode every month. It'll be the first Tuesday
awesome.
Of the month, and your debut will be next week.
Yes, super, super excited. We got lots of cool guests coming up and neat topics. We're psyched. I think it's going to be really fun and informative. You know, good horse care and good sort of overall info, regardless of your discipline. Although we do come from sort of top sport show jumping, but yeah, we're really excited.
Well, I'm excited to be working with you as well, Jennifer. Tell us what the first prize is today.
Today's prize is from, let me get the name right because it's got a funny name, JF Equine Collection, a saddle cover and saver. It comes as a set. Will keep your saddle looking like new. The saddle covers cover up your stirrup like your saddle like a traditional saddle cover, but the saddle savers cover up your stirrup irons individually, eliminating abrasions and scratches caused by dirt and aggressive treads on your stirrup irons. It's very popular now to have cheese grater treads or those silvery treads on your stirrup irons, which are not good for the flaps of your saddle. And these were invented to keep your saddle from getting scratched by those. And you can check them out online at jfequinecollection.com.
And Emily, you are also donating a prize from your company. Tell us about that.
We are, yes. We have, it's an equestrian clothing line. It's all technical materials, top of the line, although it is tailored for style. We've got a great team of pattern makers that do mainstream fashion. We manufacture in Manhattan, so it's made in the U.S., which we really like to champion these days. And there's not that many really manufacturers that are actually there in the garment district anymore. It's sort of falling away these days. We love that aspect of it. But we are primarily, like I said, started in show jumping, but lots of other disciplines love the gear. It's jackets, men and women, shirts, men and women, and breeches. And we even have some people pick them up for lifestyle, just for everyday wear, even other sports, tennis, golf, and things like that. So we are. We're going to offer one of our polo shirts today, which is UV50+. It's made out of an Aerocool PK knit, washes great, stain-treated, wrinkle-treated. It's top of the line and super cute. Nice cap sleeve. You can check it out on the website.
And that's from S Equestrian, spelled ECE Equestrian. You can Google that and you'll find there. Thank you, Emily, for donating that. And I know there's somebody that could use it, use that UV protection, and that's our listener. And we are, for playing against you today is Michelle Barr from Wright Lead Equestrian Center in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. We all know it doesn't get hot down there at all. There's no sun down there.
Never hot.
That is
hot. Hi, Michelle.
How are you?
Good.
It's not hot now, that's for sure.
Now, Michelle, I've been watching your Facebook page, and you have Cleveland Bays, which are absolutely beautiful horses.
Mm-hmm.
You know how I love your horses. But you were expecting a baby. Has the baby come yet?
Baby is not here yet, but it's getting very close.
Oh, very exciting. And the reason that's exciting is this is a rare breed, and having Cleveland Bay babies is not common here in the United States.
It's not common anywhere. Yeah, there's only 500 purebreds in the world.
Wow. So there'll be 501.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yay.
Keep watching. There'll be pictures all over.
All right, very good. Well, we're looking forward to seeing the pictures, and we'll definitely have you back to tell us about your baby when your baby makes its arrival.
Yes.
This is how it's going to work, guys. We are going to ask you some very difficult questions today that Jennifer put together because she knew that you were both extremely smart and did not want to insult your intelligence. So that's why she put questions. Emily's gone, oh, my God, why did I agree to this?
Oh, gosh, I got to get my disclaimer quick. No,
all right.
We'll be good. This
is if you get the question right, you'll hear that. If you get the question incorrect, we are now going with a new sound effect.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy.
Oh, ouch.
I like that one. All right, and Jamie will explain the rest of the rules and start asking you the questions.
Here we go. So I'm going to ask Michelle a question first, and then we'll move to Emily. It'll go back and forth and back and forth. You'll have three questions apiece, and then we'll get to the tiebreaker, which I will explain if we get there. Are you guys ready to start answering?
Sure.
I'm ready.
Okay. Now, the rules are you have a very loose 5 seconds to answer this question. It can be a very generous 5 seconds depending on Glenn and his button pushing. But just don't Google, okay? Don't Google. And it works out because you can't Google the first one because here you go. Michelle, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. What did the horse say when it fell down?
Oh, my God. I don't know. I've fallen and I can't get up.
Oh, that's so close.
So close. The answer is I've fallen and I can't giddy up.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
Okay.
Although,
impossible.
I'm going to give you credit.
Yeah, partial credit?
Half credit.
Partial credit. The new dressage scoring?
Exactly. I'm going to give it to you because you did come up with I'm falling and I can't get up. So it just needed to horsify it a little bit. I've fallen and I can't giddy up was the answer. So
that's why I didn't give her the whip because I felt guilty, you know, giving her the whip because she was so close.
Yeah.
Well, I do appreciate that.
You're
like, if we were telling jokes and I told that joke, it would be funny. Your joke would not have been funny because it really wasn't funny. Okay, here we go. Emily.
Yes.
Emily, your question. Computers, do horses prefer?
Jeez.
You can do this one.
This is so easy. This is so easy. Come on.
Is it so easy? Oh, gosh, I have no idea. I'm the least technologically inclined person. Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know if I can come up with that. Oh, man, kind of computer. I was thinking kind of, you know, like desktop, laptop. Oh, there was nothing. Apple, okay. I told you.
Emily, I think you and I might be very evenly matched for this game.
Actually, the
at least
score is...
Take a good thing.
Yeah, Emily, the score is 0 to 0.5.
I know, she's beating me, seriously.
By half a point.
Hey, we take what you can get. It's better than 1 to 0.
Okay, now we're going to get into some real tough questions. Here we go. Michelle, in the 1960 Disney film, The Horse with the Flying Tail,
mm-hmm.
It celebrates the life and career, and this is multiple choice, it celebrates the life and career of what show jumping Hall of Fame horse? Is it A, Nautical, B, Idle Dice, or C, St. John? Or Simeon.
I think it's A.
That's correct.
Correct.
Can I have extra credit? I know the name of the horse. Oh, no, that was a different movie. I was going to say I know the name of the character. Is that the one with Aspersill?
Oh, man. She's getting competitive now.
Yeah. She's trying to
now she wants
credit.
More points than was even
can
allowed.
Can I have that half point back?
I knew I was going to suck at this.
How did you come up with the horse with the flying tail reference there, Michelle?
Oh, I've seen it.
I guess.
Yeah.
You would have had
Hello?
To.
Hello?
Good movie, too.
Top 10
yeah,
best horse movies ever.
Yeah, did you ever see it?
All horse
you should
chicks.
Watch it. It's
all
good.
Yeah,
all horse chicks have seen the horse with the flying tail. But the problem is if you saw it when it was in the theaters, you're dating yourself. So don't mention
it. No, I did not. No, I did not see it in the theater.
Okay, good. All right, now let's move to Emily. Emily. This is
yep.
also multiple choice. Also multiple choice.
Okay, good.
American show jumper Susie Hutchison competed successfully on a very non-traditional breed mare named Bionic Woman. What breed was Bionic Woman? Is it A, Tennessee Walking Horse, B, Connemara, or C, Standard Bred?
Yeah, I'm ashamed to say I have no idea. But I'm going to use my, I guess, process of elimination here. I will say Standard Bred.
That's right.
That's unbelievable.
Yay!
Great.
Now, what made you eliminate Tennessee Walking Horse and Connemara?
Well, I've known of a few Connemaras, and then the Walking Horse, I thought, well, I don't know. I thought maybe that was pushing it a little bit. So,
yeah.
Standard Bred.
Yeah. You can go ahead and say it. Tennessee Walking Horses really have no skill for jumping, bless her heart. I've tried to teach a couple of them, and it's just a disaster. So you're right. It is
true. It's true.
That is correct. And
it was
so the score is currently 1.5 to 1. Okay, 1.5 to 1.
All right.
Here we go. We're going to move to Michelle. Michelle, this is also multiple choice. The United States took home how many equestrian medals at the 2012 London Olympics? Was it A, 0, B, 1, or C, 2?
I think B. Oh, God.
Oh, sorry.
That's
you
three.
Wow,
not just one.
No, they got 0. They took home a big fat goose egg
I
in
it was
equestrian.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't win anything.
Yeah.
We didn't win.
Man.
It was, that's tough. That was a tough question. Emily, we're moving to you. And this
Emily,
is the only thing.
Emily, before you go on, Emily, could you please bring a horse up here and get to the Olympics so we can win something, okay?
Seriously, we're going to definitely, I think, we need to have more structure in our training programs nationally, some sort of standard, some sort
something.
Of something, a training scale, anything.
Anything.
We should all just go to Germany. And some
I know.
Show jumpers over there.
Seriously. They'll field a team 10 times over.
Uh-huh. Well, Emily, here's your final question. To get this, you would move ahead of Michelle to, if you don't get this, then you lose. So sadly, you know what? We'll see what happens.
The pressure's on.
I know. In what equestrian sport? In what? What is that noise?
What is that noise?
It's building the pressure. Is that what's happening? You guys are blowing trumpets at me?
That is
no. That was a message notification for me. It's okay. The hunt's not ready to roll.
Oh.
Okay.
I'm like, is she on course right now?
No. Okay.
I'm multitasking.
Okay.
Gotcha. Emily, in what equestrian sport would one find a pure Penn Marybelle?
Do
you want me to give you multiple choice?
No.
It's got to be, I don't know, gosh, something with ponies, I'd say.
See, I knew she wouldn't get it. I knew it.
You should know this one. Didn't you tell me that you trained horses for fox hunting? Weren't that you that told me that?
Oh, gosh. Well, yes, but I came in as sort of the saddle breaker, green broke rider, so I wasn't really up and up on the, you know, fox hunting side of things. I was sort of shuffled in there in the back of the line to keep these babies going. So sadly, I didn't really pick up on any of the other nuances except try to stay on the horse.
Well, apparently, allegedly, the Penn Marydale is a type of hound in fox hunting.
I thought
that was really hard. And
now, Michelle, would you have gotten that one?
Yeah, because
that's a good one.
The hunt I went out with has those.
Oh, okay. Has the Penn Marydale.
Now,
that's a good one, though. That's a good one.
That's a hard one.
That is a hard one.
Now, just for fun, do you guys want to do the tiebreaker, even though Michelle's already won?
Sure.
Why not?
Okay, because it's fun.
Okay,
so what I am going to do is I am going to give you clues, and they're going to build up, and as soon as you know the answer, you are going to buzz in, and your buzzer is your name, because I can't tell your voices apart. You sound very similar.
Okay.
So, your name is your buzzer. Now, again, I did not give this at the beginning. If you do not like these questions or you're unhappy with these questions, you can email Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com because she is the author and our producer. Okay. Here's
file
the tiebreaker. Yeah.
Yes.
And you can complain there. No, this one was incredibly hard to me, so we'll see if you guys are smarter than me because I really didn't know any of these answers, to be honest with you. I didn't even know the horse with the flying tail. So I am a big fat loser in this whole thing. I would have lost. All right. This industrialist, nicknamed Gussie, was the master of bridle spur hunt for over 10 years. Okay, next clue. He donated Circus Rose to the USET for use in the 1952 Olympics, and the mare was renamed in honor of his company's namesake product, Miss Budweiser. His love of horses and flair for marketing led to the formation of perhaps the world's most recognized equine symbols with giant feathers on their legs.
Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
Augustus Bush?
Yay!
Good for you.
We'll accept that. August Bush, I think, is his name, and that was the next clue. Was he shares his
close
name
enough.
The 8th month of the year. Close
that
enough,
was close
my God,
enough,
Michelle,
for sure.
You won hands down, Michelle. And Emily, again, you know, bless your heart, at least you're pretty.
You know what? I'm glad I gave my disclaimer before I came on. You know, I let people know this is happening. It's awesome. We're going to have a blast, but I'm probably not that good at it. So. Hey, I was accurate. It was fun.
Hey, though. This is for – we got to get this in for Michelle, though. Good
oh,
job.
Thank you.
Good job.
Michelle, now you get those saddle covers that Jennifer was talking about from Jennifer, what company?
They are from JF Equine Collection.
Thank you. Cool. And then also you're going to win the terrific shirt that Emily donated from S Equestrian, and we're going to put you in contact with Emily to get that all arranged. And it's certainly a shirt with UV protection of 50 will be something that you can use this summer in Louisiana. So that's
you better believe it.
Thank you, Michelle, for joining us.
You
we
bet.
Really appreciate
Thanks, guys.
It. Hold on, Emily. We're going to chat with you for a little bit more. So hold on. Bye, Michelle.
Bye, y'all.
You guys are awesome.
Bye, guys. Bye.
All right, Emily, hold on here.
Hey.
We're going to chat with you for 1 second. First, okay. I want to mention EquityMFG.com, our sponsor of this segment. They make the best manure forks in the world. If you have never used one of their manure forks, let's just say it this way. When you use one of their manure forks, you will never go back. You will never use anything else. We bought one. This was the mistake we made. We bought one of the Flexen forks for our landlords who live at the other side of the property, super nice people, and now they fight over it because she wants to use it to clean leaves and sticks and stuff when she's doing her gardening, and he wants to use it to clean the paddocks, and now they're saying, we're just going to have to buy another one. It's causing too many fights.
You have to buy two.
You have to buy two. You know, Uda, one of our regular listeners and a terrific person, she actually, when she bought hers, bought a three-pack because she heard us saying this, that everybody that buys one, the husband and wives, will get in fights about it. And then this shaken fork is another one. If you clean a lot of stalls and you're cleaning those wonderful pine stalls that we talked about earlier and you clean more than three, you need a shaken fork. You'll save time. You'll save bedding. It does all the work for you. You press the trigger, the little head goes, and it's just a guy's tool. You know, it's really a gadget that we love. And if your husband has to clean the stalls at all, buy a shaken fork. It's worth the money. So Flexen fork or shaken fork, either one, you use the Flexen fork for out in the fields or clean stalls, either one. They're a little bit more expensive than the others out there in the market, but they never break. I'm telling you, I haven't broke mine, and I've been using it for almost 2 years. And you will absolutely love them and never use anything else. So that's EquityMFG.com. So tell me, Emily, your show starts next Tuesday. You're going to be co-hosting with me a new jumping episode here at Horses in the Morning. What kind of things are we going to cover on the jumping episode?
Well, really, we've got a few different we're organizing, but for sure we want to be able to cover some cool products, horse management-related, riding equipment, things that my husband and I use in our show jumping business. But, you know, just get some knowledge spread about some of these products that maybe are used in other disciplines, not as much in show jumping, and then some that are brand new. And then we've got some great guests, some riders, some top Olympic riders that are currently competing. And then we've got a few that are not competing anymore but are working really to develop the sport in this country. So from a few different angles, but I think it's going to be cool stuff that people will be interested in regardless of their involvement in show jumping in particular. It's going to be, you know, overall horse care management from our viewpoint.
Well, that's terrific. I'm looking forward to it, too. I think, you know, a lot of times we go watch these big show jumping classes and you think that that's not something that anybody can aspire to. And, you know, very few people do get to that level. But there's so much else that goes on in show jumping. And it's one of the only sports, and I'd like to say this just to rub it in with Jamie, it's one of the only sports on the English side that actually you can win money.
Thank
so
you.
I just thought I'd throw that out there, Jamie.
Hey, yeah, $3 million up for grabs this year.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what? You know, I just like to spend money to run cross country. That's all. I just like to hand it over. Nobody, I don't need money. I'm clearly very independently wealthy. So,
hey, you got to walk into the ring with that attitude. Although there's money to be won, you need to walk in like it's okay if you just walk out empty-handed.
I got to tell you, Emily, I did feel bad. You know, people paid $3,500 to enter that class. That's what the fee was for the million-dollar class, Jamie. And, you know, you pay $3,500 and you go in there, and about 25% of the class, for some reason, there was a turn to the first jump, and they took down a rail on the first jump. You just paid $3,500. You go in there and you take a rail on the first jump. That has got to suck, Emily. What does that feel like?
Oh, man, it's the worst thing in the world. It just makes your heart sink. But then immediately when those front feet hit the ground, you're like, okay, pressure's off. And generally then you'll put in the round of your life.
Oh, man.
On the video, you can just edit out that first jump, and you're like, yeah, look, I'm killing it. But it's so psychological, you know. I mean, you've got so many aspects of the management of the equine athlete, the professional athlete, but then just, you know, mentally just having your sort of sports psychology down to get in there and get your game face on and be able to ride away from those issues. But, yeah, those big classes, the million-dollar classes, the stakes are so high that those are fun ones to watch, really, because you see that competitive aspect at play of people being, you know, even people that get in cool and collected, and then when it's time for the jump off, it's that sort of, you know, now I've got to replicate what I've just done, and people come in jittery and galloping and picking, and, you know, it's really that mental aspect. It's a big deal. It's a big factor.
Interesting. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing more about it as we go on here. Next Tuesday is Emily Debut, and she is the owner
Yay.
Of S Equestrian, ECE Equestrian. Check it out on Facebook or over on the Internet. Just Google it. Thank you, Emily. Talk to you next Tuesday.
Thank you, guys. Looking forward to it. Talk to you soon.
Well, that is going to pretty much wrap it up for today's show. We have run out of time. This is it.
Yep,
we've got.
That's it. Well, I'm
and
glad
we didn't even hear the baby.
The
baby must have got some clothes on, I'm assuming. Let's get a baby update, because apparently the baby running around naked, people found that extremely funny. Chad apparently did, too.
Well, like you said, it's like, did he escape? I had him earlier this morning, and he was climbing under my desk, which is where all the wires are. And, of course, you know, that's where they should not be. So I hand him to his father, and all of a sudden he comes back down the hall, crawling on the hardwood, totally naked. So I don't know what happened after that. I was able to capture him and hand him back. And I said, I've got to do this. I'm closing the door. You're in charge. So I don't know what I'm going to find when I walk out into the kitchen. There could be Cheerios all over the floor. There could be, you know, who knows? There could be vomit everywhere, which sometimes happens. So I don't know what I'm going to find, but we're going to go check it out here in a second.
I got to tell you something funny that happened yesterday. I recorded four shows yesterday, and one of them was Stable Scoop, and we had Kat from Eat Your Tart Out. She's been on this show before, and she was doing a recipe, and then at the end of this, she says, and I got this, I just read this article this morning you guys might find interesting. I have never laughed so hard in the last year as I did discussing this particular topic on the Stable Scoop show that will come out on Thursday. So you have to take a listen to Stable Scoop, but it involves nudity and eating. So let's just leave it at that.
My favorite thing.
Yes, yes. And let's just leave it at that. It was hilarious and embarrassed the heck out of Helena. So anytime I can do that, I'm happy. But that's coming up on the Stable Scoop show this week. That's it for us. You can find all of our show notes over at horsesinthemorning.com. You can become an auditor just by going to that page as well. You'll find a link there. You can search for us. You definitely want to follow us on Facebook. Our numbers are growing over there. We're happy to have you all. And join us on Facebook. Just search for Horses in the Morning. And download our app. We set a record last weekend with the number of downloads in 2 days. I was thrilled with that. So download our app. You can just go to the App Store on the Android or on the iPhone, and you'll find us under Horse Radio Network. It's free, and it's very, very, very easy to use. That's it for today. We'll talk to you all. We'll have a recorded show tomorrow. We'll be back here live on Friday. Don't forget Really Bad Ads. Send your ads in to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. And we'll have some terrific prizes on Friday for that as well. That's all I've got today, Jamie.
All right, sounds great, everybody. Have a great one. Spay, neuter, geld. Come here, naked baby. By the way, he doesn't walk. He's just crawling. So it probably was weird.